So if you're stranded on a desert island yesterday, maybe you didn't hear about the historic Supreme Court decision. Otherwise, you probably already know that the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, upheld almost all of President Obama's Affordable Care Act yesterday. Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the court's liberal justices, and the decision ultimately hinged, for him at least, on whether the individual mandate functions as a tax. So for now, the question of the bill's constitutionality has been resolved. And what does that mean for healthcare policy as we move forward? We've got Mark Pauly with us, a conservative economist credited as the father of the individual mandate idea, and he joins us by phone from his home in Pennsylvania. So, Mark, happy today?
Well, mixed feelings. I'm certainly glad that since I've advocated the individual mandate for 20 years, it was found not to be unconstitutional, and our original individual mandate proposal treated it as a tax, so I was pleased to see that the court agreed with that ruling. Of course, individual mandate is only a tool to help in the design of health insurance, and so the overall evaluation also depends on what you're mandating, as well as the fact that you have a mandate. And so there are, in my view, there are some features of the legislation that was passed that are somewhat troubling.
All right. Well, we're going to go through some of those features, but let me bring in Grace Marie Turner, president and founder of the Galen Institute, which is a health reform research group, also co-author of Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. And she joins us by phone from her home in Alexandria, Virginia. Grace Marie, nice to speak with you.
Hello, Celeste, and hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine.
You know, Grace Marie, I wonder what your thoughts are, at least moving forward, if we could say that the ACA question is settled, which it is not entirely true, but if it were, as we move forward, what does it say about reforming healthcare policy? I mean, that's one thing that most people have agreed on, is that the healthcare system in the U.S. is flawed and we have to fix it in some way. Does this set us up at least to fix some of the problems in the system?
Well, if this law did that, unfortunately it doesn't. It's going to increase taxes. It's going to increase the deficit. It's massively unpopular. The states still say they are going to resist setting up the exchanges, which are the major distribution mechanism for the subsidy. So this is absolutely not settled. And I do think it's important to recognize that there were only two provisions of this 2,700-page piece of legislation that were before the court. One was the individual mandate, and the other was the mandate on the states to dramatically expand their Medicaid budgets. And it didn't uphold the whole law. It basically said because it found ways for both of those to be legal, that therefore the question of the severability and whether or not the whole law was in question was just was thrown aside. So that there are a lot of other challenges to this law. For example, the bishops are challenging the anti-conscience, the HHS mandate. You have the Goldwater Institute in Arizona that's challenging the mandate, the new independent payment advisory board for Medicare, the unelected board that's going to have a lot of say over Medicare spending. So there are still a lot of other provisions in this law that are not settled, that are very likely to continue to make their way through the courts.
All right, that's Grace Marie Turner listing off a few things that she doesn't like about the bill. Mark Pauly, let's go back to the features that you think aren't particularly effective or that don't work in this law.
Well, I think one of the issues is that the bill sets up a quite elaborate regulatory and control apparatus over health insurance. This is really health insurance reform, not health care reform, and that's okay. Health insurance certainly has some problems, but the question is whether the remedy is better than the problems. And so the elaborate regulatory apparatus that's been set up for regulating one part of the health insurance market, I think, is something that you could be skeptical of. And then the other part of it is, there's sort of good news here. I personally think it's appropriate to offer fairly generous subsidies to lower middle-income people to help them afford health insurance. But the way the law works, you only get that subsidy if you get your insurance through the exchange, whereas if you take a lousy job but at a good company in order to have good health insurance, we don't give you any help at all. You're on your own. So for one thing, that's unfair, and it's probably going to lead to some substantial distortions in the labor market as people move around, lower middle income people changing jobs, not for good reasons, but because they want to get to work for that small firm that's going to qualify them for bigger subsidies.
I got to tell you, Mark, that people already often do take jobs they may not otherwise take because of the benefits. But let me put to you something that was said on this program by Dr. Perry Klass, a pediatrician and professor of journalism at New York University yesterday. Take a listen.
This matters so much, this coverage, this extension of coverage, what happens to the children with serious medical problems who grow up into the adults with so-called pre-existing conditions.
All right, so there she is saying that, in fact, because this covers preventive care, that it allows more people to be insured, which means they'll go see the doctor before it's an emergency, that, in fact, we're going to raise healthier citizens. Do you disagree with that?
I think we bring raised a little bit healthier citizens. I don't think it'll save money, but certainly right, left, and center, everybody's been in favor of getting decent health insurance to every American. The question is how you do it, and this is, in my view, in many ways, the dumbest possible arrangement for trying to get health insurance to people.
So, Grace Marie, I mean, you're an expert on health policy. Does this law make American citizens, in the end, healthier?
It's really hard to see how that's going to happen. It certainly has a lot of mandates, and it's going to require insurance companies to provide a long list of preventive services. But we've seen through other kinds of plans that rely on incentives rather than mandates that given the proper incentives and the proper health plan, people will voluntarily get the preventive care they need. They're healthier, and they actually wind up spending less on health care because they actually have more control over the resources than their personal resources and the kind of policy they have.
That's Grace Marie Turner, president and founder of the Galen Institute, co-author of Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. And we also spoke with Mark Pauley, a conservative health economist at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much to both of you. We're still looking for your reactions to the Supreme Court ruling, especially your initial reaction, your gut reaction when you first heard the ruling that the Affordable Care Act had been upheld. What did you think? 877-8-MY-TAKE.